Hello, .NET readers, members, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the NXT show that aired December 20th, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break, for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review of NXT featuring the very splendid match between Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne for Pete Dunne's WWE UK Championship. Now that we're back, I'll just straight up tell you guys, go out your way to see the show. This is not 205 Live. This is NXT. It's the good show. But we got what might have been a takeover quality type show. We didn't get the takeover bulk of matches. We only got 3 matches on this episode. But it was structured like a takeover. They had the video packages that hyped up things. And they had your typical NXT episode vignettes. It's something that the main roster needs to do a little bit more of, have some vignettes that promote some of their characters. But we had a good opening match, a good middle match, and a great main event. So go out of your way to check this out. This was a pay-per-view quality show. And dare I say, I pointed that out in my written review, this was better than WWE Clash of Champions on Sunday. I feel pretty confident in saying that. I also feel confident in saying that this episode of NXT might have been the best television episode, non-pay-per-view, live event type event of the year. It was the best television NXT episode. That's not that hard to do because the purpose of the television show is usually to develop and get over characters leading into the live specials. And as I mentioned, this was more of a NXT live special sampler. So if you also have friends who you want to show people what NXT is all about, show them this episode. You got 3 matches that had a good... I'm using the word sampling a lot. It had a good sampling of what NXT has to offer. Has good tag team wrestling, has good development, has good vignettes, and has good main events. Has good everything. The show is good now. It wasn't that good last year when they were like just airing house shows more often than not. But this year, after they hit the huge reset button, after Tom Phillips just told us a bunch of times that this was the new era of NXT, this was the new NXT. And yes, it is the new NXT. The new NXT is pretty good. Hopefully we get a new WWE Raw, a new WWE SmackDown, and hopefully they just straight up delete 205 Live, because that show needs to be deleted from all space and time. Okay, I have enough clamoring over how great this main event was, but I'll tell you why when I get into that main event. Let's go through the whole show. And if you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review on the ProWrestling.net main page. It will be in the archive section if you're listening to this review down the road. There's a TV review section and a drop-down box. The reason I would say check out the written review is I use it as an outline and as notes, so you can use it as a reading guide. Or if you would like to skip along, you can use the written review to find out exactly where I am at that point of time in the audio. Now, without further ado, and let's get into this episode, let's get into the actual audio review. This week's episode of NXT was taped November 29th, 2017, in Winter Park, Florida, at Full Sail University. The show started with the narrator guy, I just called the deep narrator voice, the narrator guy, hyping up the 2 big matches on this episode. 2 title matches. Sanity versus Undisputed Era for the tag titles, and Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate for the UK Championship. The commentators of the episode were Mara Ronello, Nigel McGuinness, and Percy Watson. And the first match of the night was the championship match. It was Eric Young and Killian Dane versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. There were no auxiliary characters at this point. The commentators did note that Alexander Wolf was not cleared to compete. We saw last week, it was kind of gross. Eric Young was like picking and playing with Alexander Wolf's staples in his head. That was kind of disgusting. Plays into the Sanity character, so that's why Eric Young did it, because Eric Young is crazy Eric Young. Adam Cole wasn't out until later in the match. We got a title change here. It was Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish defeating the Sanity members, Eric Young and Killian Dain, via pinfall in 11 minutes and 24 seconds of TV time. There was a commercial break, and the Undisputed Era are now the new NXT Tag Team Champions. In the middle of the match, you had Adam Cole coming out and crotching Eric Young off the top rope. Sort of even out the odds, you had Nikki Cross this jumping, coming running in out of nowhere and beating up Adam Cole. It was interesting, to say the least. Nikki Cross was really beating up Adam Cole. Adam Cole had no chance against Nikki Cross. It works. Nikki Cross is a crazy character. This isn't the first time we've seen Nikki Cross like get involved in matches and be somewhat dominant. I believe she even got one on the Authors of Pain at one point. That led to her getting sandwiched between an Author of Pain and Killian Dain. That looked painful. Adam Cole does kind of look weak still. He doesn't win. He cheats to win, and he just got beat up by Nikki Cross. But Nikki Cross, it does help Nikki Cross though. That's what makes her stand out, I guess. The ending of the match, you had Eric Young getting sort of a rally in. Killian Dain was taken out because Dain tried to power slam Adam Cole, but Adam Cole shoved him into the ring post. Eric Young got rid of Adam Cole with a flying tope, a very good one to give Eric Young credit. Then he fired up in the ring, but then walked right into the total elimination by Fish and O'Reilly. Fish and O'Reilly picked up the win. There you go. It was a solid tag team match. None of the NXT Instant Tag Team classics like the ones involving DIY, American Alpha, or the Revival, but it was pretty good. The interference makes sense, and Fish and O'Reilly look strong. Adam Cole looks weak, but Fish and O'Reilly do have good tag team chemistry because it's Red Dragon. What do you expect? And Red Dragon are the tag team champions now. Given all the great matches I remember from them, from seeing past Red Dragon matches, it's these are the guys to have the belt on if they can find out opponents to line up and battle these two. I'm looking forward to see it. A shame we don't have the American Wolves in NXT, but we have a lot of other good tag teams and tag teams that they're building up. Let's see where they go from here. Let's see where the hell is TM61? They were good, but it was a good opening match, nonetheless. Before I get into the next segment, I'll just drop the plugs right here. I'll take a break from the audio review to tell you guys about .NET membership, because remember, this is the All Access audio review. There are non-members listening to it. Members get to hear me every week. That's why you're wondering, like, why are you randomly getting a NXT audio All Access audio review this way? For one, this episode was really good. Two, the reason is we don't usually give audio reviews to all the major shows every single week. We try to give you a sampling every once in a while on the free side at Blog Talk Radio or wherever you download our All Access podcasts. Note that the members get every single show reviewed from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, 205 Live. We still do that. But we cover all the shows in full, in written and audio form, and the audio is only given to members. If you pay $77.50 a month to become a member of the .NET site. Also, a reason to become a member right now is we're in the middle of roster evaluation season, where If you're a fan of NFL scouting reports, NBA scouting reports, we're doing a pro wrestling scouting report for all the individual wrestlers of all the major promotions that we're covering at the site. We already did the Ring of Honor one, we did the SmackDown one, and we did the Raw one, which was really long. Will Pruitt and Jason Powell spent like 3 or 4 hours on that one because the Raw roster is huge. But all the roster evaluations have gone around 2 hours because it's a lot of wrestlers to get through. Speaking of such, the plan is later today for me to chat with Jason Powell, and we were going to do the NXT roster evaluation. So relevant to this, and .NET members get to hear that. We might give you like in maybe A through C or something on the free side. That's like Adam Cole through something. But note that if you drop down $7.50 a month, you can become an access all access member or a member VIP member. And it's not just that, you get more benefits at the site, which I can just ramble on about, but check it out. And if you end up liking what you get for $7.50 and want to try us up on our annual offer, you can bring that $7.50 down to $5.50 a month if you take us up on our annual option. With that said, that's .NET. We are in the middle of NXT, of not just NXT, of all the roster evaluations. So now is the time to become a member and get the most out of your .NET membership. With that said, let's get back into Dottie review. After the tag team match, let's see, there was a commercial break, and Shayna Baszler, that we got another vignette. This vignette had Jim Ross and Lita sound bites. Of course, they put I believe the A in Baszler has a spade because she's the Queen of Spades. I remember that because of the Mae Young Classic, and also she is the one of the Bay Area Women's Champion in a local indie promotion here. They're probably just gonna make her belt vacant because she works for WWE now, but that's a different story. After the commercial break, we were shown Heavy Machinery, Tucker Knight, and Otis Dozovich randomly walking around backstage or at nighttime in a parking lot because they randomly walk around in parking lots. They run across Tino Sabatelli and Redding Moss's Maserati. Otis thought it was a Corvette, but Tucker Knight yelled at him that it was a Maserati, and for no real reason, but I thought it was hilarious. Otis decided to want to lift the Maserati. Like, there was no reason. Because he's Otis Dozovich. He's like a human, like, tank or something. And Otis is awesome. Yeah, he tried to randomly lift up the tank, or no, lift up the car, excuse me, until Moss and Sabatelli walked in. They were bragging about being rich. Moss said he joked about Heavy Machinery's tag team name, catchphrase, being pork and weights, and Otis yells that it's steaks and weights. Otis then made some random noises. He just goes like babaloosh and stuff. You want to get it on right now. As in, he wanted to fight. And the noises scared off Sabatelli and Moss, who drove away, I believe. They then cut to a highlight package of the match from 2 weeks ago, Ruby Riott versus Sonya Deville. The one where Ruby Riott passed out due to a triangle choke with the rope assist. It was a no holds bar, so there was no rope breaks. And that was the story they were telling because Sonya Deville was talking to Ruby Riott, saying she only wins the matches due to rope breaks. They cut to an interviewer who found Sonya Deville at the Performance Center. They were asking her about Absolution. She instead talked about how she wanted to challenge Ember Moon and how Ember Moon only got into the championship match by picking up the scraps of Sonya Deville, which is true. In the triple threat match qualifier, it was Sonya Deville having Ruby Riott in an ankle lock, and Ruby Riott had an injured ankle. They were running an injury angle with her ankle. Yeah, that's a mouthful, ankle angle. But you had Ember Moon hitting the Eclipse on Sonya Deville, and then pinning Ruby Riott, who was in the middle of the Sonya Deville finisher. So yeah, that does make sense. And this is all going to lead to a match next week. So there's going to be a championship match between Sonya Deville and Ember Moon. Thoughts on that one is they're doing a pretty good job with Sonya Deville, and you know it's going to end soon because she's on the main roster. But it took a while. Just like a lot of people on NXT, for them to really find their identity and find their stride. Sonya Deville is a legit MMA fighter. That was the whole hype of her when she was in Tough Enough. She's nowhere near the notoriety of Shayna Baszler, but she does have a legit MMA background. At the same time, they were having her play pro. I mean, she's a pro wrestler, but she never really found an identity yet. She was having 50-50 matches with everyone, like Lacey Evans. But in this feud with Ruby Riott, she has developed into a submission specialist. I thought they were going to make her a striking specialist, but they made her a submission specialist, and she played it very well. She comes off as a strong heel. She lost to Ruby Riott, but that Ruby Riott had to be scrappy. Ruby Riott plays a good scrappy babyface, and they took her away, and she's a heel on the main roster now. But Sonya Deville, I thought, was really starting to develop an identity and get into her own. So hopefully this match against Ember Moon ends up being really good. I'm not completely confident that it will be, because Ember Moon, while really good, does tend to look weak during TV matches. But let's see where they go. I'm hoping for the best. And it would have helped if Sonya Deville could stay on NXT longer. Maybe she can. Maybe just have her be on both the main roster and NXT. Speaking of such, like Sarah Logan should have that luxury, because she's coming off as very nervous on SmackDown. But that's beside the point. No, that relates to NXT. Yeah, she should be on NXT, and they should allow some wrestlers to have double time on NXT and on the main roster, especially when there's no talking smack to allow some wrestlers to get their character over in auxiliary fashion. I should move along. It should be good next week, and that's another. And I'll backtrack and then I'll reiterate another point. That's another thing NXT does good, is they hype up matches for the following week. And throughout the show, they were hyping out the four-way match. We'll find out who the fourth member of this match is later on in this episode. Yes. Oh, and speaking of such, that transition to what I was just talking about. Yeah, no, that's actually what happened. They hyped up the four-way match in regards to how. Let's see. Yes, we're getting Lars Sullivan versus Roderick Strong for the final spot in that four-way. And before the match, so the match was next. But before the match, they gave Lars Sullivan. He still has the same entrance music. But they gave him a new entrance setup, this new entrance routine that he does when he walks out. And it's not him doing anything different, is the camera work. So they have that like wa that low, or where the cameraman's like on the ground and at a 45-degree angle to make him look huge. He is huge, but they emphasize that with the camera angle, and he's like walking through a red light and doing martial arts moves. Kind of like Goldberg, but not. Then he enters the ring, and they switch to a different camera that's looking into a spotlight, just into the white of a spotlight. And then Lars Sullivan then walks into frame, and you see a nice eclipse silhouette. It's a really cool entrance, and I would say check that out. So even before the match started, we got some cool factor from the Lars Sullivan. And Roderick Strong had his normal entrance, but he was cool too. They had aired a vignette earlier on, just recapping what makes Roderick Strong Roderick Strong. He's a good wrestler, and he has a very interesting backstory, or a very sympathetic backstory. The backstory being he grew up on the trailer park, where his mom shot his father, like true story, and it was a serious thing. And he how pro wrestling was what kept him away from bad things. And how he's proud of, like, wants to make his family proud and all that stuff. Roderick Strong, NXT with these vignettes, Why doesn't the main roster do this? Our second match of the night was Lars Sullivan versus Roderick Strong in a qualifier for the four-way to determine the number one contender of the NXT Championship. This was a fun back and forth. The winner was Lars Sullivan, as you would expect, and he defeated Roderick Strong via pinfall in 5 minutes and 43 seconds to advance to the number one contender's four-way. The story of this match at the beginning was the story of most Lars Sullivan matches, how opponents have a hard time getting him off his feet. I compared him to like a video game boss battle where you just had to keep chopping away and chopping away. Eventually, Roderick Strong chopped away enough and got him grounded. There were some cool high impact moves that he hit on him. He hit the angle slam. He hit a lariat. He trapped Sullivan in ropes and did some drive-by punches. Strong looked very credible here. It was interesting to see how Lars Sullivan would do against the smaller Roderick Strong. And it worked out. Lars Sullivan on his end. One of the luxuries that NXT has is if you want a really good match, just insert either Roderick Strong, Oney Lorcan, or Drew McIntyre in the match, and you're guaranteed at least a 3-star match. This was a really fun match, though. The back and forth, everything was believable, everything made sense, and they told the story of Strong trying to utilize his speed and technique to overcome the much bigger Lars Sullivan. But Lars Sullivan ended up just pulling it out on his end by using his power, and they're trying to make him out to be very cerebral, which works. There needs to be a way to differentiate this giant from other giants, and it was just a very it was not too long, like I said, just under 6 minutes, but those 6 minutes were action-packed, about just as good as the Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan is doing a good job on his end. Here's something I didn't note in my written review, but I'll note it right now. I hope that Big Show doesn't retire before Lars Sullivan gets in the main roster. I don't know, but we got that really good series of matches between Braun Strowman and Big Show. Big Show works really well with big men. There was a good series of matches between Big Show and Mark Henry from a couple years ago that built up Mark Henry to be such a monster. I think I have confidence that if we got Lars Sullivan versus Big Show down the road, with Lars Sullivan getting a bit more seasoning, that that could be a surprise match, a surprise stellar match. But this was good, and Roderick Strong, very good. He's the luxury of NXT if you want a good match. That's why they put him in War Games, because he just makes that matches all that much better. Now moving along, after we had a commercial break, we got the latest episode of Street Talk with the Street Profits. Let's see, Angelo Dawkins said it was time to spread that knowledge. Let's see, they did spread that knowledge and a party with the fans. Not too much of my cup of tea in the sense that, like, as a African American person in this world, I feel that they're just targeting the basic stereotype of African Americans. But it's not as offensive. But at least they're not targeting negative stereotypes. Remember when they did Crime Time years ago? But it does seem a little shallow. Maybe there could be a way to spice this up a bit. Part of what makes it a little shallow, too, is not fully their book. It is partially their booking. But also, Angelo Dawkins doesn't come off as very natural. Montez Ford does, but Angelo Dawkins feels like he's really trying hard to play this stereotypical black dude. I mean, he is a black dude. I understand. I'm a black dude too. I'm half on my father's side, but I'm not sure what like the ceiling for this gimmick is, if it even has a ceiling or a floor, but. We'll see where this goes. I'm not fully down on them yet, and Montez Ford has a lot of potential. Let's see where they go. They just also need to start putting in some good matches against some good opponents, and that's where Dawkins shines. He shines in the ring. Montez Ford is limited in the ring. They're probably just waiting for him to develop a little more technique. Street Profits. I'm spending too much time on that segment. They cut to Christy St. Cloud in the gorilla position, who was interviewing Tyler Bate. Tyler Bate talked about his 2017, how he's been battling Pete Dunne, and how it was disappointing how they tore the house down at TakeOver Chicago, yet Dunne took away the championship. Then he walked out and did his entrance. Nigel pointed out that Bate was the youngest inaugural champion in WWE history. I'm not sure if that's a strong accolade, but he was close to being the youngest overall champion in WWE history. I googled this. He was beat out by a couple months by Rene Dupree, sadly. The next match of the night, and Mike Rome handled former ring introductions for both this and the opening match. But the main event match was Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate for the WWE UK Championship. And man, was this a great match. I'll go over some of the high spots, but you should go out your way to check this out. This match had several phases to it. So the beginning of the match was lots of chain wrestling, lots of joint manipulation. That's sort of Pete Dunne's MO. There were these two very grotesque looking spots where he would bend Tyler Bate's fingers into the mat and then just stomp on it, while afterwards just doing his apathetic shrug. It's a Pete Dunne, very smart wrestler, very smart heel. I hope he doesn't turn babyface. I know he turns babyface and plays babyface in other places, but he's just such a smart heel. They should have ran a vignette for him, but they did do plenty of vignettes in this episode, so I can't get on them too hard about that. Tyler Bate is just so plucky, so strong too. He is muscular, but he shows that muscularity by doing like these all these like deadlift suplexes. But out of nowhere, he pulls out shooting star presses that are very clean. I've liked complained when Matanza Cueto or Jeff Cobb would do this. The reason being is Jeff Cobb is also over is like two Tyler Bates and overly muscular. But when he tries shooting stars and stuff, they just come off as very clunky. Whereas Tyler Bate makes those look very clean. And he's not a high flyer. He is primarily a technical and ground and pound wrestler. Whereas Pete Dunne is a like a joint manipulation and submission specialist. Very good mesh and styles and a good story told throughout. And there was this very fun airplane spin spot where he just did several times and in several directions. And even in the final one was a super fast. Very good match. We had a couple of the kicking out of the finishers, which was good for this match, for this type of main event. One complaint some people would have is like, why are they doing all the spots in the like, and why doing in this TV match? But Tyler Bate explained in the promo before, so it made sense that this it was their latest encounter. So usually you want to build off of your last encounter, some very good work here. You had so the one not so good move. It was a good move, but it wasn't well executed. You had it was. Tyler Bate, he went for and executed the AJ Styles spiral tap, but Barry gla this barely glazed him like with his head. Just think of those bad Jeff Hardy Swantons or bad Johnny Mundo Starship Pains. Nigel tried to cover for it by saying that Pete Dunne rolled out the way, even though he kind of didn't. It was a good cover. Pete Dunne. So Tyler Bate went for a super German suplex, but Pete Dunne flipped out of it and then hit his bitter end finisher, the pop-up pump handle flatliner for the victory. And Mauro called this an instant classic. So Pete Dunne, by the way, defeated Tyler Bate via pinfall in 23 minutes of TV time to retain the WWE United Kingdom Championship. And those 23 minutes were a lot. There were no commercial breaks to my recollection, unless I was just so enthralled and absorbed that. No, there was no commercial break. Good job by WWE there. And Mauro did point out that this show did go into overtime. So, yes, we got a long episode of NXT today. And just go out your way to check it out. This was takeover quality as far as the three matches were concerned. And yeah, what more can I say? Check it out. Go out your way. I'll be back later on next week with, oh God, 205 Live. And I'll be back with what will be a good NXT audio review. It's so easy to predict that 205 Live's gonna suck, and NXT's gonna be awesome. Given that Fatal 4-Way, it should be decent at least. And there's a women's match that should also be decent to really good. So there we go. Thank you so much for being .NET members if you're a member, and if you're not a member, check out our membership for a month. Also, happy holidays, guys. Whatever holiday you celebrate, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, or no holidays, you should at least celebrate some sort of holiday. These are fun times to be with family and stuff. With that said, happy holidays, guys, and have a nice one. Bye-bye.